Hi, I'm Larry Rexenosian, and I've got good news for you. You've got to keep watching this space, all right? What's coming? It's the Influence of the Spirit podcast. You heard it right. The Influence of the Spirit podcast. We will be coming at you week after week with solid nuggets, solid points on how to increase your intimacy with the Holy Ghost, growing in revelation of who you are in Christ, just walking in that enhanced life, that spirit walk life. It's going to be exciting. So please follow me on all social media handles, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. This will be amazing. It will be wonderful to grow together with you, grow in the things of the Spirit and in our walk, you know, and continuous exercise in the Holy Ghost. So looking from who we are, what Christ has done for us, imagine how much we would be, you know, edified and transformed. So please subscribe to this channel and then just turn on notifications so that once anything drops, you will be the first to know. It will be awesome being in this community with you. Looking forward to great times together. God bless you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's always just so good to be here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So welcome to the Influence of the Spirit, our weekly episode. I would like to believe that each week has been quite enlightening, quite revealing, instructive. So this week will be a bit more instructive, maybe challenging. There are some thoughts I'll just believe I should push a bit further. We're still kind of dealing with the work of the Spirit in the believer, but more on the angle of trust, all right? Trusting that leading, trusting that guidance, trusting the operations of the Holy Ghost in your life. I think that's important. Jesus in John chapter 14 said, I would ask the Father, verse 16, he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Okay. So the Holy Ghost is here to comfort you. And then we looked at the sevenfold meaning in the Amplified, the counselor. Okay. The comforter counselor. So if someone is here to counsel you, it means he has an idea at least of how you should go about it. But question is, how often do we acknowledge him? How often do we try to get his counsel? And that's like pretty much important in what we're discussing today. How much room of lordship or for lordship does he have? You know, so we could easily just say, well, Jesus is my Lord. Well, he is. The word Lord also, guys, is the word master. Please understand that the word Lord is also the word master. So if Jesus is my Lord, then he's my master. He's my captain. He's my commander. Okay, so because most times we treat him like Savior, but not Lord. Lord means, yes, sir, you ask me to do it. I get it done. I move. And I trust that this will be very helpful. So we'll go to Matthew and the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. Something quite interesting happens here. So Jesus is talking in Matthew 16 and 13. So let's use what now? The NLT. Bible says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. 17, Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. So what I have seen over time from here is there are basically three sources of information. So Jesus began by saying, who do men say I am? And I love the way they said, some say, and you might hear that a bit in today's episode. Some say, all right. So some say, you know, but then he moved in verse 15 to say, who do you say I am? So there's the voice of some say, okay, and then there's the voice of you. But when he asked, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said to him, you are the Messiah, or some translations of popularly use the word Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, or like in James, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, right? Because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. That's me making reference to King James now. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. So this didn't come from some say, right? This didn't come from you learning anything from anybody. this is revealed to you by my Father in heaven. So one source of information will be some say, second source of information will be you, and then the third source of information is the Father. And this is the most authentic. You don't learn this one. It is revealed to you. You don't learn this. It is revealed to you. And you and I, as students of the Spirit, as children of the Holy Ghost, all right, must give attention more and more to tilting our ears, inclining, like Proverbs 4 says, inclining our ears, tilting our ears more and more to what's the voice of the Father. Because we'd have all these voices all around us. I've had to, you know, say to church folk a few times, you know, that sometimes you have people say, it's my life. I want to do something with my own life. Well, it's yours, but kind of like not yours, really. You know, well, it's not mine. If it's comparing between whether your life is mine or yours, it's yours. All right. But when you're talking to God, you really can't, you know, stand before him and say, well, it's my life. Allow me read to you 1 Corinthians and the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So Paul is saying here, okay, that, where do we pick it from? But I'm already going to the 19th verse though. Okay, so he says from 17, he says, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So he now says in 18, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. So 19 says, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? All right, and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself. I'll take 19 again. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You did not belong to yourself. And I've come to learn in, you know, reading the writings of Paul that certain things might seem to like fly sometimes, but everything doesn't fly every time. God might allow, all right, or do not, all right, sometimes maybe not allow. God might not have restrained a particular believer from doing something, but then God restrains you from doing something. And you almost wonder, can't I just get away with something? Can't I do, you know, I like football, he likes football, and then he can watch the whole game and I'm watching and God says, go and pray. Your parts or patterns might be different. The dealings of God might be different. So you need to understand that you must, please understand this, be delivered from the voice of some say, but yet again, you must be delivered from the voice of your own flesh or your own feelings, because the flesh cannot lead you in the direction of the Spirit. Spirit can only lead Spirit. All right. So it now takes your own spirit, right, who is in tune with the leadings of God, to now say, hey, this is the direction in which we're going. This is what we're going to do. And this is exactly how we're going to do it. So there is that, you know, voice of some say, that thought, that reason that comes to you. And may I say, being led by the Spirit of God, you know, it's exciting. So I'll give you a story. I might have said it before, but it's nice I'll say it again. All right. I mean, so Kenneth Copeland was driving one particular day, and the Holy Ghost told him to stop and buy a particular property. And he felt, Lord, I'm not interested. I don't need one. And God asked him to buy. And very many years later, they find oil there. I mean, oh, we like that kind of story, the leading of the Spirit, okay? or Jerry Savelle, you know, got him to buy property, and then he bought it. And God said, ask for the mining rights where that land is concerned. I wasn't clear about the story, but I heard him preach again lately. And I was like, oh, so that's what I missed. So the Lord said, ask for the mining rights over that land. You know, and he said that was it. He did, and just by the leading of the Lord. And then very many years later, they found gas. You know, they found gas on the properties all around that place. And the Lord had been leading him to buy more. So he had like quite a number of acres. So this is just prosperity, right? So we like these aspects of it. But there are many stories that these men, Jerry Savelle or Kenneth Copeland, will tell you that were not always necessarily convenient. That required faith, all right, to step in, faith to act on, you know, and so my point is, the excitement about walking with the Spirit, the excitement about being led by the Spirit shouldn't just come with, hey, you know, like, a teaching I did this, morning at church. Someone leading anyway. And talk about Abraham. Hey, so a 75-year-old man now says what? He's leaving his father's house. Where? Uncle, where? I don't know. I mean, it sounds, you know, like it's a little bit, is it loco now? What was that word? It's gone nuts, you know. Where do you say you're going? But he obeyed God promptly. He obeyed God promptly. You have to get that. And then God says, circumcise. That's like a lot of blood that will flow that day. That's a lot of hurt and pain and men screaming. And you can imagine some man watching how they cut one person and then he's trying to run and then, you know, catch him, tie him or whatever, you know. So we, you know, could think about it and maybe laugh right now, but I'm not sure these people might have had a good time laughing very well that day because they would have been in serious pain, won't be able to walk well or sit well, whatever must have happened to them. These are men, all right? Most of them were grown. But Abraham obeyed God and did it same day. And then God shows up and says, hey, I need Isaac, all right? So I'm going to show you the mountain. You're going to offer him up as a sacrifice. And Abraham says, no problem. It's easy to read the story and like, okay, no problem. Okay, no problem. But we have very many people that when God tells them, do this for me, they will reason it out and reason it out and reason it out until the whole thing wipes off. You know, we've had wives, right? God leads the husband into some venture, spiritual. It will have a serious toll on their finance and the wife says, no, God is not wicked. My God is not wicked. My God will never want me to suffer. My God will never, 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 never. But you're not actually admitting that you're being attached to things. Sometimes it could be the man too, you know, and some of what affects us is just that voice of some say, huh? So even you can't hear yourself, all right? Because if you're filled with the flesh and then you're led by the flesh, you're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to act the wrong way. You're going to make the wrong move. So, all right. So are you ready for what we're learning? So in 1 Samuel chapter 13, we'll pick it from what now? The fifth verse, 1 Samuel 13, verse 5. I'm using the NLT still. The Philistines mustered the mighty army of 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and as many warriors as the grains of the sand on the seashore, the army of the Philistines. Right? They camped in Michmash, all right, east of Bethaven. The men of Israel saw what a tight spot they were in, and because they were hard-pressed by the enemy, they tried to hide in caves, thickets, rocks, holes, cisterns. Some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land, you know, of Gad and Gilead. So now, we move to meanwhile, okay, Saul stayed in Gibeah and his men were trembling with fear. So verse 8 says, Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel as Samuel has instructed him. Please follow. All right, earlier, Samuel instructed him earlier, but Samuel didn't show up. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away. Men were, you know, bailing off, MIA, you know. So verse 9, so he demanded, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offering, and Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Samuel arrived. Saul went out to meet him, welcoming him. But Samuel said, what is this you have done? Saul replied, I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would. And the Philistines are at Michmash, ready for battle. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. I mean, Samuel verse 13 could have just said, wow, I like the fact that he took initiative. All right, guys, there's a time not to move. Okay. And it's by the Holy Ghost we know the difference. 13. How foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You have not kept the command of the Lord, the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Sad story, like seriously, okay? Some of these stories here, you know, they're sobering. They make you think. They make you ask questions. you read again and again, like, so what could I have done differently if I were Saul? So trouble was up. Enemy soldiers have ganged up in their thousands. My guys have fled. More of them are leaving. And we need direction from God. But I'm not Samuel, so what would I have done? But Samuel had said, wait. So knowing Samuel, even if he's late. So many things to think about so that you can learn from this. You know, so that we don't make this just Bible stories. Okay? But Samuel's reaction was so harsh that it almost gives one that thought that could Saul have a record of something? So look at the 15th chapter, okay? So 1 Samuel 15, verse 7. Then Saul slaughtered the Amalekites, all right, from Avila all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everyone else. So Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, everything, in fact, that appealed to them. Please note that, all right? Fat calves, the lambs, everything, in fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality, all right? So now, verse 10, then the Lord said to Samuel, I am sorry, this is God speaking now, I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. So the core stories you might have might be this and the one in 13, but it's as if there are other records of what we really don't have. Because God here is like, no, I repent. All right? So that's why I said the language of Samuel was harsh. You have to read these stories. You have to think through the stories. The language was harsh. Like, no. This is what you don't follow God's instructions. All right? And guys, it comes back again to flesh, self, or the people. But the people are leaving. But the people are sad. But the people are reacting like this. Oh, but, but what did God say? How did God say it? And you and I must encourage one another, strengthen. And this for me is a big thing that God is saying in this season. Be led. It's a big thing, all right, that God is saying in this season. Be led by my spirit like never before. Be led by my spirit like your life depends on it, because it does. Please understand this. Be led by my spirit like never before. Be led by my spirit like your life depends on it. So we see God. Let me read again what God said. He said, I'm sorry that I made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. This is the same man that confronted Saul. Samuel has a soft side. And Samuel loves Saul. So it wasn't just, oh, praise God, God is even tired of him. Let's kick him out, Lord. What do you think? How far do you want us to kick him out? So it seems as if what Samuel said in chapter 13 was prophetic. Because you still find God having to tell Samuel, get up, why are you mourning over this guy? You see that in the first, let me pick chapter 16. We'll go back to chapter 15. Chapter 16 from verse 1, NLT. Now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flax with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. For find a man named Jesse who lives there. For I have selected one of his sons to be my king. So we find Samuel still mourning and crying and I'm feeling bad. So Samuel is not the guy of, oh, I'm happy, good riddance to bad rubbish. Hey, to hell with Saul, or to whatever it is, to blazes or whatever, people get to say. No, Samuel was tender-hearted. Saul's error didn't for him mean, the end of Saul's life. Saul in his heart, I believe he was desiring for change. Saul in his heart, I believe he was desiring for true repentance from Saul. But just wasn't forthcoming. So still in that 15th chapter now. All right. So Samuel, cried out to the Lord all night. Verse 12. Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument for himself. Aha, now monument, now statue, right? For himself. Then he went on to Gilgal. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. May the Lord bless you, he said. I have carried out the Lord's command. That's Saul speaking. All right. Then wait. I mean, no, not wait, right? Then what is all the bleating of sheep and goats and lowing of cattle? I hear Samuel demanded. It's true that the army spared the best of the sheep and goats and cattle, Saul admitted, but they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else. Then Samuel said to Saul, stop! Listen to what the Lord told me last night. What did he tell you? Saul asked. Samuel said to him, although you may think little of yourself, you are not the leader of the tribes of Israel. I read that wrong. I'll read it again. So Samuel said, so, although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king over Israel. The Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? But I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. I carried out the mission he gave. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everything else. Then my troops brought in, some say, all right, note that. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God again, all right, in Gilgal. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols, because you have rejected the command of the Lord. He has rejected you as king. Oh, I mean, if the other guys were there listening. So Saul got carried away with some say. In 13, we see all the people are running. Yes, they really were. So Samuel might have expected Saul, maybe a David, maybe, all right? We find David, his guys lost hope in him, wanted to stone him, and he asked of the Lord, all right? First encouraging himself in the Lord. But of course, we don't see David having a command like, wait for me 7 days and all of that. But there was an offering to be made. And Saul says, let me make you know that's Samuel's place, not yours. That's Samuel's place, not yours. You hold on. There are lessons to be learned here. Lessons for you and I to learn. Things for you and I to consistently ask ourselves and like, okay, guys, how we go be? dear Lord, how we go be? What is God telling you? What's God? Because, you know, it's exciting when God leads you. You know, God says, you know, buy a new car. You like that part, right? God says, buy a new car. You've done well, my daughter. You deserve some rewards, my daughter. I'm sending you 3 gifts. But what about that car that you love? That one, yes, that one. That one that you're still like managing and, you know. And God says, all right, so when next you meet XYZ, hand the key over to her. I'm like, no way, Jesus, get deep behind me, Satan. When you're done binding God for 3 weeks and you realize that was God, you have to obey. Or then you move in disobedience. I said something, you know, to the church folk. I said, and you need to understand this, please. So assuming I want to do something and God didn't give me a go ahead, or I'm in disobedience, I didn't even pray about it. Then I ask you to join me, all right? Maybe I invite you as a preacher or as a music person, or just as a fellow believer, right? Come on this trip with me. This is what I want to do, X, Y, Z. Good idea. Now, God might even have told me no, but I just make up. No. If I don't do it now, God, time is going. I want to make sure, you know, before the end of August, you know, that thing must happen. It has to happen. And I bring you in. You don't even know I'm in disobedience, but you're coming to join me in my disobedience. I don't know if you got this. Because you'd almost wonder, preachers die in accidents on their way to meetings. What happened? Was that meeting to hold? Was that preacher to be there, to be the one to preach? Listen, I've pastored for how many years of my life now, all right? Sometimes you could sit back and think of who the guest speaker could be. I didn't say pray, I said think, all right? And then pastors could sit and look at statistics. Who will pull crowd? Which singer is popular? Who will bring the people? It's not all God want to have his program. God said, yeah, bring my son, the anointed, you know. No, you're like, the people must dance. The crowd must gather. Who is the heavyweight person that will come? So I didn't pray about it. Then I threw out an invitation to you. And then you are honoring my invitation and I'm in the flesh. So you pray. Dr. Creflo Dollar had accepted an invitation, right, to preach for a preacher in Nigeria here, actually. Sometime like 94 or something. I might have had that year mixed up on 94. If I mention it, if you were around, not around like born, but if you are aware of what I'm saying, or the preacher, you like, oh, that's a man. Yeah. So Creflo Dollar was to preach for this particular preacher in Nigeria. Accepted invitation, publicity and everything was done. He was at the airport. And the Holy Ghost told him at the airport, turn back home. Airport, get back home. Next thing Creflo Dollar will hear, there was a conference, all right, at this person's church. Next thing he will hear is the man was shot and killed. So we didn't know this side of Creflo Dollar's story. I was listening to one of his messages, Angel Power. It's an old teaching. I heard it maybe, what now? Maybe 2002 or something. But I think he preached about 94, 95, or maybe something. Angel Power was the title of that message. And he talked about it. You know, talked about a number of things, all right? But he mentioned, if I remember correctly, was that message. And he mentioned it. Now, here in Nigeria, what we knew was there was going to be a convention in this particular church, all right? And then this preacher, all right, went to receive his mom at the airport. Driving from the airport home, he was gunned down by the gate of his house. Now, that was the same flight or something Creflo was to arrive at. And then, of course, I think it was also all maybe go home or whatever it was. And Creflo said, God obviously knew someone was going down. And he sent me back. But some of us are too moved with some will say, they will say, I did not honor the invitation. They will say, I did this. They will say, you know, some will say, we need to be careful of who exactly is leading you. The Spirit of God, sentiments, whatever it is. So three categories of people. Some say, you say, the Holy Ghost says. And you and I must train ourselves with what exactly is the Holy Ghost saying? What exactly is God leading you and I into? You and I have got to ask, okay, who is, so we don't get into the error of King Saul. So like I mentioned earlier about Abraham, we've got to understand what Abraham is saying, but let's see Paul in Acts. All right, the book of Acts and then the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27. And then we'll pick it from, yeah, we'll pick it from 10. We'll pick it from 10. So actually, instead of 9. So Paul was a prisoner on his way to Rome and then they were sailing. Okay. So they had a troubled time a bit on sea, but they needed to still forge ahead. So the 9th verse of Acts 27:9, we had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. So follow the conversation. Right. 10. Men, he said, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, danger to our lives as well. Please note that Paul says, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, danger to our lives as well. But, 11, the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. So Paul spoke, all right, and then there was a ship's captain and there was the owner. So the officer in charge of prisoners listened more to them, listened more to the voice of some say than to the voice of revelation. Now, if you use the King James here, Paul said, I perceive. So perception might not come like, okay, God revealed to me. Well, they don't even know who Paul is. So I've even said, oh, he's perceiving something. Or let's listen to him. Or maybe he's hearing from God. He's a prisoner. Yeah, I mean, the captain of the guards, I mean, captain of the prisoners now, or just have this love for him. All right, but hey, he's a prisoner still. So we find out that sometimes we're easily tilted, you know, to expert opinion, all right? Well, they know about it. I mean, there's the captain of the ship, there's the, you know, owner, the person who has the money. You know, and if I got worse, the some say version here increased. So, okay, we see, 11 says, but the captain in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's, the officer rather in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and to the owner than to Paul. All right. And 12 says, since fair heavens, all right, was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend winter, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix, all right, further up the coast of Crete and spend the winter there. So everybody, like majority, said, let's move. Things were horrible. I'm sure you know the story. Basically, there was shipwreck and Paul said, I told you so. Now, it's not always comfortable or even easy telling people I told you so. Things could be really like pretty bad. But the point is three people here, right? Or sets or categories. There's the voice of the some say. There's always the voice of the some say, all right? Then there's your own flesh, your own will, desire, ambition. And there's nothing wrong with you wanting a good life. Nothing. But when what you want is going crosswise, all right, goes counter with what God is saying, all right, then you have to drop what you're saying. And when God gives you an instruction, we get to say we know he knows better, but the way we respond when he leads us is what really shows if we know better. And guys, this is not brag. This is in your time of fellowship, just check your own self and be sure you follow the leadings of spirit. So what if you might be listening, that's okay, but you've made a lot of mistakes. Turn back, get the right road and move. Sincerely, okay, if you need counsel about it, talk to your pastor, talk to ministry friends, get the right counsel. No matter how, you cannot tell someone on the wrong road, oh, keep going, keep going. It's wrong road. The further it goes, the worse it gets. You turn back. Jonah, right? Jonah chapter 1. You know the story of Jonah, but let's read Jonah. So Jonah 1. All right. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked the people are. All right. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. So God says this way he went the opposite direction. Maybe you're watching or listening and you're in the opposite direction of as we speak. You're hearing that. Sometimes you sincerely got on that road. You didn't know. I mean, Kenny Higgin was sincere to let all of us know that first 12 years he pastored, it was out of God's will. God permitted it, but wasn't God's will for his life. But that's him being willing. If most of it, if all the churches he pastored except one, he would ask the Lord, should I take the pastor to God to reveal to him, you're the next pastor there? And he'll go, so we still find God leading him, but it wasn't just God's plan. Then God said, I didn't call you the pastor. All right? Then he jumped into evangelistic ministry. Then God said, none of that. You're called to teach. Teach. Someone else could have said, no, Lord, no. What will people say? What will people say? I've been doing this thing for a while. You know, and all that. I've announced the program. I've said I'm doing this. I know it's not comfortable. I know it's not comfortable, but God will honor you. Remember what we read in Samuel 15? Those who honor me, I will honor. I mean, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience will always. Oh, God says, do it for me. Oh, God, no, let me do that business. I know you don't want, but let me do it. God, when I do it, I'll give one fat offering. Fat. Like God needs the fat offering. Yes, your church or ministry or persons or whoever it is, you give it to, will receive it. They'll use it for one or two things. But God is not moved by money. Come on now. You know he's not. You can't bribe God. And we have a lot of people doing that. God is calling them and they're like, God, let me just be financier for the kingdom. God says, I want you, not your money. Not your money. Please understand this. And sometimes I like to do deals for God. God says, okay, I want you to give this person. He says, no, God, that was not good enough. You want to keep that one. That's why. You know, let me buy, you know, this wristwatch. It was my great grandfather or my uncle's auntie's brother's nephew that gave me, you know, but let me buy. There's this new one I could buy and I could brand new. God says, no, that one. Sometimes God just wants you away from attachment. Just away from attachment. So that you are light. You can run your race without burden. Hebrews 12:1 says, seeing therefore we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weights, those attachments, those things, and the sins that easily beset us. Some put both weights and sins together, all right? Some separate, most separated, because the weights might not be something sinful, but just something that slows you down. Your attachments, your affinities, your sentimental connections, cut them off, run with patience, the race God has set before you. That's what counts. So we see Jonah going the wrong route, going to Tarshish. Verse 4, but the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he'll pay attention to us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and cursed the terrible storm. When they did this, the lot identified Jonah as a culprit. "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from?"
"What God is to us,"
cried out to the Lord. "Oh Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sins. Don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now, the Lord had arranged a limousine, all right? The Lord had arranged for a great ship to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Jonah was on the wrong road. Going on the wrong road won't help it. Now, we find certain people on that wrong road, they'll tell you how much hardship. Right, you read Gosians, you find the story of Mama Etta, right, how the things were really tough for them. There were horrible stuff, really. And she said because she was in disobedience, she was yielding to God's call. But very many things, women were not accepted in ministry and all of that. So you find some people just seem to have a smooth sail. And then they are working in those disobedience. And then they have a smooth sail that onlookers might almost think, is God, you know, encouraging what this person is doing? But it's not so. God's patience and forbearance, all right, only leads us to repentance. It's not an excuse for more error. So we find here that eventually Jonah had to admit, "I'm wrong." We see if you follow through the story, which I'm sure you've known since like you were a kid, Jonah eventually went to Nineveh. Yeah, they repented. Yeah, he got mad, but he learned the lesson. God is merciful. God is merciful. So if you're on the wrong road, turn back. Now, but what I want to pick about some say is this. So these sailors, all right, and every other person that might be on the ship will get to their homes that day and talk about one horrible guy or whatever it is, one bad luck of a person, one, you know, death, you know, hanging on his head kind of guy. All right. Can you imagine, honey, who met today? "I could have died, man. And I told you I'll come back from sea today. But guess what, honey? Something, you know," and then they talk about Jonah in their homes and talk about Jonah to their kids or friends and talk about Jonah. So sometimes that's what happens to us because the people will talk about you for like a few weeks. Maybe a few months, maybe a few years. It doesn't make the wrong road right. Guess what? These men ended up in chapter 1. After chapter 1, we don't know about them. We don't read about them. Because the story is about Jonah. When they get to their homes, they will talk about Jonah like Jonah just featured in their own story. And he did. But as far as God is concerned, they were the ones that featured in Jonah's story. If Jonah wasn't, you know, running away to Tarshish, we would never have read about any of these guys. We don't even know their names. So sometimes you give importance to people that are not important when God is going to finish writing your biography. You give importance to things. Yes, you made the blunder, get up. Yes, you made a fool of yourself, stand up. Run with patience the race that is set before you. Run with patience, drop the weights, drop the sin, drop the voice of some say, drop your flesh, drop everything that no, beat this thing down, run. If you have to change association and find more sincerely spiritual people, hang around those that would encourage you. Don't be around people that would like to talk about people, talk about canal stuff, and that's what they do. Oh, they pray in tongues, they might even be church leaders, but their environment is not spiritually challenging you. Run your race. Because you're not going to stand before God and say, "Well, some said I was getting too spiritual. Some said the things you were saying to me wasn't really you talking. Some said, no, hear from God. Hear from God. Hear from God, because God will lead you to the ends of the earth. God will lead you into the fullness of his plans for your life. Don't hear yourself. Don't hear your flesh. God might say, give, and your flesh says, we've been saving that money. We've been keeping it. God might, if God says, give it, give it. Now, yes, yeah, some of you who naturally, and that happens to us a lot when we've given, everything just comes, you're going to give, train yourself to be led. So that it's not that philanthropic side or that just good culture of giving alone that leads you, and then you've still never had to pick. God is saying that way. God is saying this way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Be generous, because a believer's life should be a generous one. But now be sensitive. What is God saying? What is God saying? What is God saying? I remember a number of years ago, my elder brother showed up at my house. I mean, with a DVD player. It was solid with speakers and woofers and home theater. I said, God said, this early morning, hurry up and come and drop. I mean, just find that you could hear God. I didn't do that. He didn't pack his own home theater because he got a second one. It was because God spoke to him. God speaks. So God shouldn't just speak to you on receiving. He speaks to us on giving. And he doesn't only speak to us on giving. He speaks to us on receiving. He is the father of giving and receiving. He's the creator of the system. All right? He's a lot of seed time and harvest, if you understand what I'm saying. So you and I must be sensitive to God. Allow me end NLT Psalm 32 and the 8th verse. Psalm 32 verse 8. I believe this has been like helpful, all right, to you today. Like super, super, super helpful. NLT? Yes, I'll do NLT and TPT. NLT and TPT. We'll quickly read that and then close. All right. So Psalm 32 verses 8 and 9. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. The best, not anyhow. The best. If God is leading you, that's the best path. Find what God is saying, child of God. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. Passion Translation says, verse 8 and 9, Psalm 32. I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. This is God saying he's committed. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. God is watching over your health, watching over your home. And if he says, take this step, or do it this way, move your family here, take that one. No, stop that job, cut it off, start this business, stay here, build this one. He knows what he wants you to do. But I'm not hearing God speak to me. That's why I love to recommend, read Kenneth Hagin's book, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. And please download Reverend Keith Moore's messages, Spirit-Led Life. All right. If you need the link, maybe you tried searching, you can't find it, send a message. If it's on Instagram, you could DM me, Facebook, inbox, YouTube, leave a comment right there. Just leave a message. Speaker, leave a message, or just send an email. Please, you could send an email to Reverend Rex, R-E-V-R-E-X, at them website, lionrexnursing.org. All right, just please send an email there. I will send a link to you. It will be my pleasure to get the link across to you. 20 messages. These will inspire you and set you on a journey. All right? Set you on a journey. So again, I will stay close to you, instructing you, guiding you along the pathway for your life. I'll advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. Verse 9 says, so don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've never been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come to me. This guy's is God's commitment. John 16, 13 again says, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you. And God is set to guide you and I into the most glorious future you and I have ever experienced. And glory to God is not just about finances, inclusive, but not limited to. Glory to God is, wow, you being involved in the ministry of Jesus, in whichever aspect of it God has called you to do. Paul said in Philippians 3 that I press, all right, to fulfill that mark of the high call of God for me in Christ Jesus. And that's what you and I need to do. Run the race in front of you. I like to always compare Pastor Deboe's ambition as being vice chancellor, youngest vice chancellor, to what God has for him. What if he never yielded? Think about that as we close. Just what if? What if all the big names we know never yielded? To next question, what if you never yield? What's the next generation going to miss if you don't ever yield, or if you don't keep being yielded? You can't yield once and say you're done. What if you stop being yielded to the agenda of God for your life? All right. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for the stirrings in all our hearts. Thank you for the stirrings. Thank you for the stirrings in all our hearts. You are our shepherd and we are your sheep. It's you we follow. We do not follow our senses. We do not follow our flesh. It's you we follow. It's to Jonah's God of our walk. We commit ourselves. We commit to encouraging one another on this journey. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So please find our website. So many messages there. Over 80 messages. LanRayRexOnOcean.com. Over 80 messages that will bless you. All right. Please visit the website and download all you can. Everything. We'll still add some more, but get there. Download. All right. Just reach out. Let's know how these programs have blessed you. Let's know what you've learned and what the Lord is doing in your life. It's always great to be here. Looking forward to hanging out with you again next Sunday. All right. So have a great week. Bye.
Hi, my name is Larry Rex Onosia. Welcome to my YouTube channel. Here we will be having a solid time with God's Word. We will learn who we are in Christ. Listen, there's so much God has put within us that makes the new creation, that's the born again person, the most treasured possession on this earth. Wow. Yes. And that's it, really. So much to uncover. Bible says that God has put so much treasure in us. We have treasure in this earthen vessel. Imagine us week after week, episode after episode, digging in by revelation, by the help of the Holy Ghost, into all those amazing truths on who we are, what God is to us, what Christ has done for us. Imagine how much we would be, you know, edified and transformed. So please subscribe to this channel and then just turn on notifications so that once anything drops, you will be the first to know. It will be awesome being in this community with you. Looking forward to great times together. God bless you.